Woo, what a week we've had here. Just want to kind of take a deep breath. We had an amazing week of Feed My Starving Children, and you can see all of the amazing numbers in your worship guide today. It is just, I can't even explain to you what a joy it is to be in my office every day and to hear all the excitement behind me in the Shared Life Center. So huge, huge thanks to Marvelous Marv, his sidekick Gary, for our mission team, for all those who went out and built up the offerings to help support Feed My Starving Children, and for all over 1,000 people that came through those doors. As Neil and Christian just talked about, the importance of opening those doors, and it was an amazing thing to witness. So continue to be in prayer for that process as that food is distributed around the world. Last couple of years, it's gone to Haiti, and so they will tell us pretty soon exactly where that food will land, but encourage you to keep praying for them. Also, as we think about our youth today on a retreat, they left on Friday and they'll be back a little bit later this morning for Erica and her brave saints that go with her on those trips. We're thankful and just pray for those kids. As Kristen just shared, what an important part of their life those trips are for them. We are continuing in this time of thinking about, I hope you've noticed, what a wonderful life we get to live together, and really to think about the gospel. Today we're going to look at Matthew again, and this is from chapter 6. It's part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and we will begin at verse 19 and carry through verse 24. So listen for God's word for us today. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we are filled with thanksgiving today for all the ways that we feel your presence and your inspiration around us. We ask God in this brief time as we consider this message for our lives that you would help us truly to look inside ourselves, to examine our attitudes. What do we think about the church today? More specifically, what do we think about our place at Westminster? Help us, God, to live out this model of love and generosity that you have given to us. We pray this in the strong and mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So we consider today continuing to think about that classic Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life. It's a movie that many of us are excited to gather with family or friends and pop that popcorn and enjoy once again the reminder of what does this life really consist of. We know in the movie that the main character, George Bailey, has this great sense of wanting to go out and explore the world, of wanting to make a lot of money, right? To have this successful life, successful as he defines it, and the way that he's learned about it through his childhood and adolescence. He has a father in the story who has a generous heart, who gives away and gives away, and thus their business struggles. And so George, although he loves his father and appreciates him, he's determined that he's not going to live that same kind of crummy life in Bedford Falls. No, he's going to have a different life. Well, fast forward, we know that things don't go exactly as he hopes. And so on that night in which he considers jumping from that bridge, we were introduced to the angel, Clarence. Clarence, as you might recall, is over 200 years in heaven trying to get his wings, and things have not gone too well for Clarence. And so here he is again, trying to earn those wings and to prove that he's worthy of them. And so when he encounters George, he has this great idea to go back through George's life and to show George what his life would be like, or what the world would be like, if there had not been a George. And we come to the place in the movie where Clarence says to him, "George, you have been given a great gift, a chance to see what the world would be like without you. Strange, isn't it? Each man's life touches so many other lives, and when he isn't around, he leaves an awful hole. Doesn't he? Doesn't he?" Jesus, in this gospel passage, wants us to think about what it is in our life that we treasure. What do we grasp and hold onto with all of our being? Is it money? Is it success? Is it power? Is it a reputation? All of those things that our world continually tells us we have to hold on tight to. And Jesus, when he preaches this Sermon on the Mount, he turns everything upside down, this kingdom, and encourages us to think, to ponder. Can we be different as disciples? Can we be different than what the world teaches? That the more stuff we have is an indication of our worth, of our success in life. Yes, it makes us uncomfortable, especially when we live in a country where there is so much wealth and so much success. And yet when it comes close to home, often we struggle to think that we really are successful, because we look at our pocketbooks, our wallets, our savings account, and we wonder, where does it all go? Remember last week and the cookie dough? $13, right? I then realized that we had bought two things of cookie dough, unbeknownst to me, so now we have $26 worth of cookie dough in the freezer. Lots of sugar. It adds up, those little things. And so we have to come back. We have to come back to this important, important gospel lesson for us. What is it in our life that we're going to treasure? The prosperity gospel, you've probably heard about it, maybe read about it, maybe attended a church that embraces that sense of all that we have, we should just get more and more of it, because that shows how much God loves us, that we're prospering. What often happens is that we lose sight of all of the outsiders that we called them this summer, or the people that Neil just referred to in his challenge to us, those people who haven't felt loved or accepted or embraced by the church, or those people who are hungry for the basic parts of life, whether it's food or water. And so we're challenged by this passage to think about, what kind of things do we want added to us? What kind of things do we want to store up in heaven? Could it be treasures and things like relationships? Relationships and friendships in which we give our time? Could it be the gift of grace, of loving people who maybe we don't always see eye to eye or agree with, but we still open up ourselves to them? Could it be the gift of hospitality, in our homes or in our church or in our country, this place that we have, this creation, is it ours to share and to give? Could it be the treasure of forgiveness? Who is it in your life that you know there's bitterness between you and that person because something happened maybe years ago, but there's a sense of anger? Could it be that that's the treasure that we need to embrace, that treasure of forgiveness? Or how about patience? How about patience? When your grandchildren or loved ones, friends, when they share at the service, when they celebrate your life after you've gone on to heaven, will they remember you as that patient soul? That patient one who gave them a chance? Or will that be a sense of, hurry up, let's go, you're wasting time, let's go, hurry up, got things to do? Could we slow it down and be patient with another? Could we offer grace to the preacher when the service goes past 10 o'clock? Won't happen today, but it does happen. Could we, in fact, think about faithfulness in friendships, in relationships, to our church, to our God, our Savior, that calls us to be faithful, even when it means putting other things aside, other treasures? And generosity, could it be that treasure of generosity? Again, how will we be remembered? That one that examined the bill down to every penny when we were splitting it? Or that sense of generosity? I've got this. I'm here for you. Let's live this generous life together. That's really what Jesus is saying over and over again to the disciples. Remember, those disciples are always full of fear, but there's not going to be enough, Jesus. We don't trust you, even though you're the Savior of the world. We don't trust you that there could be enough. That same scarcity, it happens in our families, in our lives. And it happens because we're following the wrong master. We're following the master that says, get it all, that sense of greed. So I ask us today to look inside of our own hearts and our own minds and our own souls. Don't worry about the other people in the pew. Unless you might be married to them, then yes, you want to have a conversation. But think about looking inside and examining your perspective when it comes to money, when it comes to your treasures. As Kristen mentioned, this week you've had an opportunity, I hope, to look at your mail and to examine the brochure, Giving 2020, It's a Wonderful Life. And I want you to take just about 30 seconds. Yes, I know 10 o'clock is coming. But I want you to take that time. And I want you in your mind to think about three aspects of Westminster, your church, that inspire you. I'm not going to give you a test, but take this time right now. Think about what it is in your church that inspires you. Hopefully that wasn't enough time, right? That there is so much around us that God gives to us. through your friendships, your relationships, your opportunities to serve, your opportunities to learn. So as you prayerfully think about filling out your pledge card, yes, it's bigger this year because some people couldn't read it, and so we want to be response to your feedback to us. This is a spiritual exercise, friend. It's as important as praying and reading the Bible to fill this out because it helps us as leaders. It helps us to plan. It helps us to know all the ways in which we can strengthen, not just continue, but strengthen what's happening here at Westminster. The scriptures tell us that clearly we have to decide what master we're going to serve in our life. This week, this was driven home to me in kind of an unusual way, and I'm going to apologize for those of you who were up late last night watching a college football game, because Iowa played Penn State last night, if you weren't aware. Now, this is a girl who grew up in Pennsylvania and grew up wearing sweatshirts for Penn State and rooting on the Nittany Lions. And so when the Hawkeyes play Penn State, I just kind of go down into a hole because I'm divided. I'm divided. And when the game time comes around, I don't really even care because I love both teams. I'm divided. It's a very different experience for me than watching the Philadelphia Eagles. There is no division at all. And I thought, this is what happens to us, in all seriousness, as Christians. We get divided. We get pulled. We care about our church. We care about God. We care about the United Way. We care about the hospitals that we support. We're pulled. And so we lose that passion and excitement. Not to say that those other charities aren't important. Don't mishear that. But our number one call upon our life is to serve God through the church, because that's how we build and strengthen the kingdom of God. I'm not saying that it's easy, but it is possible. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let's do it together. Next Sunday, as we have our one service together, let's celebrate what it means to be that team that loves our community. Let's pray together. God, may we deeply, deeply recognize you as the one who gives us all we have. The ability to work, to think, to serve. Thank you. Thank you for those gifts. And help us ponder truly in our own lives how we can best support and love you through this church. We thank you for this opportunity to learn and to grow in this wonderful life that we share together. Amen.